and welcome to another episode of the Fantasy Writers Toolshed. I'm your host, Richie Belling, and today we're chatting all things Dungeons & Dragons and the influence this cracking game has had on the fantasy genre. Yanina Arndt and Lucy Atkinson from the Faith Fellows podcast and avid D&Ders as well will be joining me to shed some light on the phenomenon. But before we dive in, I just wanted to let you know about a free writing class taking place on the 5th of May 2022. And it's all about how to edit a novel. Now, a few people have asked me about the best ways of editing a novel, and I'm actually working through this process again at the moment. So I thought it a fine time to share with you my methods. And it's a very straightforward approach that I take, recommended by master editor Sol Steen. But I do introduce my own twists to ensure the story is full of gripping conflict, that character development is compelling, and essentially that there are no dull middle bits, which is always a bit of a risk when you're writing a piece of fiction so long. The link to register for the class is in the description, and a recording will be sent around immediately after the live class. So if you can't make it, don't worry. And everyone who does access the class will also get some freebies, including a copy of my book, A Fantasy Writer's Handbook, the first few chapters of Pariah's Lament as well, my debut fantasy novel, my editing checklist, and an invite to our writing group. And if you are looking for more immediate help with your writing, you can check out our Patreon page too for more writing classes. Those ones are all focused on the fantasy genre, so you can learn how to write a fantasy novel, how to build a fantasy world, and how to create lifelike characters, particularly the types that we see in the fantasy genre. If you do enjoy listening to the show, please give us a follow or a subscribe, and please also spare a second to give us a rating on Spotify if you use the mobile app. Or a review on iTunes as well. That would be amazing. And if you know of anyone who may enjoy what we do, please consider sharing the show with them. It helps us out more than you may appreciate. And the more people that listen, essentially, the more content we can produce. So if you like what you're hearing, that's the best way to help us out. Now, on with the show. And here's Yanina and Lucy from the Brilliant Faith Fellows podcast for a chat about Dungeons and Dragons. In the last couple of episodes, we've looked at fairy tales and we've looked at ghost stories. And today we're going to move away from the classic folklore mythos vibe and look at something more contemporary, would you say, in Dungeons and Dragons. I know it's been around for a good while, but more so than it's a bit later than the ghost stories and fairy tales we've been chatting about. Now, to help me do that, I'm delighted to welcome Lucy Atkinson and Yanina Arndt from the Faith Fellows podcast. How are you both doing?
We're great, thank you. Thanks for having us.
I understand that you both play Dungeons & Dragons quite regularly, is that right?
Yeah, once a week.
Oh, very good. So I am completely clueless on the subject. I have never played it. I know a bit about it. I don't know anyone who plays it. I think we were just saying before, that was probably the biggest problem, is I don't know anyone who plays it, so it's a bit of a tricky thing to get into. But I suppose there's groups out there and I need to get off my ass and find some. So can you tell us a bit about Dungeons & Dragons, the history, and what it is today?
I think it's been around since the 80s, hasn't it?
But maybe earlier than that even. But yeah, definitely since the 80s.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's if you want to, like, the way we found our group was just through university, so that's probably the, like, you know, if you're in school or in uni or some, you know, if you're in any community sort of thing. Yeah, I mean, the way it works, you've got a dungeon master who has to know everything, and that is a lot. Yeah. There's books out there. There's Dungeons and Dragons books that tell you how to create characters, which monsters there are, which worlds there are. There are all sorts of different worlds and campaign books that you can go through that give you, like, already created content to handle, which is easier, like, to balance things out, because it's you need the world to work in a way that you've got a power balance between the, you know, the monster encounters or the, you know, the encounters of enemies in some way that your characters can match in terms of power. But there are also people who just homebrew it all and just come up with their own concept. And you can basically, you can set it on Mars if you want. It doesn't, it doesn't have to be the classic fantasy setting, but it usually is something of it.
So I understand that it's a playthrough campaigns then. So how does that work?
It's like basically the easiest way to think about it for someone who's never done it is like it's collaborative storytelling mixed with a board game. It's like you tell a story with dice, essentially. I if you've got a pre-made campaign, you're playing through something that someone else has written to make a certain story happen in a certain way, and then you've got choices that you can make that change the story and change what happens, or decide if you die, if you fight badly or whatever.
Yeah.
Or if you roll badly, especially.
So the dice basically determines the success of the game then, pretty much.
To an extent. I mean, you can, there's different elements. There's role play in which you can play your character. Like the Dungeon Master plays all the characters that aren't played by the players, right? You've got one Dungeon Master and they have to know like all the surroundings, the world, the creatures in it, and you know, who you would encounter if you choose different things. Like we make a habit of especially making choices that our Dungeon Master has not prepared for.
Yeah, very true. Very true.
Careful.
That's always lovely. which is actually not like, you know, our DM is someone who's really good at improvising story. So it works. Like you don't have to have everything prepared. There's different kinds of DMs. There's some who like literally come across with like, we had one friend who started DMing and she used to like make her own parchment beforehand to give out to people when they came to that point in the story where they, you know, and they didn't, it was a real problem. You know, so there are some campaigns that are more flexible than others, but yeah, you essentially as a player, you pick one character and you can role play this character and sort of say what they would actually say or describe what their action is. And then there's combat in which you have to roll for the success of your, you can't just say, okay, I shoot this guy with an arrow. So that's the point where the dice decide.
Yeah.
You roll an attack, you roll to hit basically. And if you roll over a certain number, then you hit them and then you roll the damage. And then then you take that off of their health essentially and HP, which most gamers will come across. So it's quite similar to that. And in that sense, it's like a board game. Sometimes you've got a map as well because you need to know how far away you are from certain people because spells and certain weapons have ranges that you need to be within in order to like use that attack on someone.
Okay, interesting. I used to play Warhammer and it's got that kind of vibe.
Yeah, it's very, very like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go then. I might not be as clueless as Yeah.
Yeah.
So what I'm thinking, basically when you're describing how you play it, there's going to be a lot of benefits now for fantasy writers, especially like the role play and the world building. As writers yourselves, do you find benefits in playing Dungeons and Dragons?
It's useful for character creation to me, like practicing character creation and thinking about how a character would speak, how a character would act in situations that I haven't necessarily thought about, which happens quite often. You get into situations and how they would interact with other characters that have been made, you know, by other players who have specific intentions. So everyone's a little bit weird in D&D, like all of the characters that are created. And so having the ability to adapt your character to the weirdness of other characters is a really good skill to learn as a writer because it helps you create like deeper and more realistic characters, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, you spend more time with the character or like in the character's head as well, like, because you have to, you can't really then be like, oh, so this other character could do this or that character could do this. As a player, you have to figure out what does my character do in every single one of those situations, you know, in a tavern brawl as much as when they meet a unicorn or, you know, when they're in a desert world where magic is forbidden sort of thing, you know.
Yeah.
It's really great practice to get to know them, even if you've just created a little bit about them. But I think it's also like they are just great stories as well when you tell them all together, because usually just having a group of people there who've got a bunch of cool ideas, that that makes a good story. And like you can see with Critical Role at the minute, you've got a whole animated show that came out of the stories that they told together that were pretty much like partly spontaneous at least. So yeah, you do end up very much just practicing the art of storytelling. You could just write something down, steal some plot from it, honestly.
Yeah. Have you wrote any stories off the back of any of your campaigns?
I think
not it, just based on it.
Yeah, it has a bearing in things that I write. I think some of the characteristics that I've explored in particularly the first character that I played have come back into characters that I've created since, but not necessarily directly from it.
Yeah, I took an element from one campaign once, but like to import into my fantasy novel, where I was like, I am going to have this plot point where this one dragon has to be polymorphed into a different creature and is now hiding as a Pegasus, because they have to have the four limbs and the wings, and is trying to like pretend to be a normal horse, which wasn't in that campaign. So we just used a pink blanket because we only had a pink blanket, which was just, it was hilarious. And this poor little, it was a baby gold dragon at the time, which my character was sort of raising because we had rescued the egg from someone. And I was just like, this is such a cool, like the scene of having that baby gold dragon hide as a horse under a pink blanket. It was just so cool. I was like, I'm putting that somewhere.
So,
it can be both plot and character. Yeah
and working creatively with other people is just inspiring in itself, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's what I like. So yeah, maybe this is for me, Dungeons and Dragons.
You'll try it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Can only recommend it.
So what do you think about the influence it's had on the fantasy genre as a whole?
I mean, Critical Role, which you has just mentioned, has a massive influence in terms of, like, I think a lot of emerging fantasy writers now, some of whom grew up on Critical Role or, like, spent a lot of time watching that. I'm currently reading their book, the book that they wrote from that series called Kith and Kin. It's pretty good. The characters are great. So that's a massive phenomenon. I think some of what we will start to see in fantasy over the next few years might link back to some of what they created in that campaign. I truly believe that's had a massive generational impact.
So what kind of things do they do? Because it's new to me now.
So it's a Critical Role was like a massive web show. I think it's 2016 they started. I want to say. Okay. And they've done three campaigns since. It's just a bunch of voice actors playing Dungeons and Dragons, and they put it on the internet. They put their like campaign on the internet. But it blew up massively, and so now they've made the animated show, which Ian mentioned earlier. They made comics, I think, a while ago. They brought out their first book where they worked with a writer, an independent writer who brought that out for them based on some of the characters in the first campaign. It's had a massive, a bunch of like fantasy things come out of it, I think.
I think it's also like, I don't know if that is actually one of the reasons that this is a trend now, but a trend in general, like fantasy or like, you know, any kind of show actually, especially on Netflix and stuff, is towards a collective of people that you follow, a group of characters, so that anyone can sort of identify with some of them, you know, in a way, rather than following that one Bella and Twilight character sort of thing, you know what I mean? So that seems to be a more general trend across shows, that you've got a group of characters that you follow, and especially now also in fantasy. I mean, you know, you've got groups of characters in Tolkien and Lewis, but I think that's becoming like the more prevalent of the two kind of types, rather than following one character. And that's why that fits very well in it as a concept, that you've got several characters. But also it resonates so well because every one of those characters has been thought out so well by one person.
Yeah.
So you haven't got one person creating lots of different characters. You've got a massive amount of time spent with each character, and that's what makes it so great. Like, I think, you know, it's not like that innovative in terms of the fantasy genre or anything. It's quite conventional, the first campaign, but it's so well done, and it's so authentic, each of the characters, that you enjoy it. Because I find there's quite a lot of fantasy stuff out there where you're like, right, I've read this kind of stuff before, and then you put it away again because you're like, eh, you know, that's cliche.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I that really bugs me. If I can see through the red threads in the first chapter, and I'm like, I know how this ends. But I think, you know, so I like that about them, that you want to follow these characters because all of them are so authentic, and there's a real person behind each of them.
Very interesting. Yeah. It sounds like it's like a really immersive experience, like fantasy experience, like basically like reading a fantasy novel, but you actually act it out.
Yeah.
I know a lot of, I'm in a few RPG writing groups, and it is becoming really popular now, the role-playing games. Have either of you tried writing your own stuff?
I would like to.
Not really.
But I'm scared. It's cool. My fear. Yeah. I think we're probably both slightly too new to it to have like really dabbled into that. Yeah. I would like to, as I go on, I kind of want to write a campaign set in space. I want to do a sci-fi campaign, but we'll see. We'll see if that ever happens.
We can.
Yeah.
So something I wanted to ask you about as well. A lot of the classic Tolkien style characters that we see, orcs, dwarves, elves, a lot of them are in Dungeons and Dragons as well. I think you mentioned there, Nina, about cliches and tropes.
Mm.
So do you think it helps you become more aware of these kind of things and helps you think of original or different angles you can take with some of the tried and tested approaches that people have taken in the past?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the good thing is that it always ends up being more personal if you give lots of people different choices, you know. I think that's the main thing that you really... I think when you're just writing something and you can decide what all the characters are doing, basically, you know, maybe less time is spent on each of the choices. Whereas if you're all there and you're taking care of your own character and you have to make a choice for that character every single time, then you become more aware of the amount of agency you have. And also, like, obviously there are things like, you know, you've got pre-made, you know, species, races, characters, you know, and spells and things that you can use, which is good in a way because they're predefined, but it also makes you aware of, like, it makes you more aware of what their features are and how you could technically subvert that. Like, we also did a campaign where, like I said, magic was forbidden and it is still around, but like it was this whole desert world and dwarves were bold and not, you know, like, and the elves were like really roguish and like really shady, and you know, like it subverted every single one of those archetypes that you play with in D&D. And so I think it not only makes it cautions you to like break out of that sometimes if you want to, and on the other hand, it like it makes you aware of the boundaries, and you know, you can see what you can do within them. It is really helpful in that sense.
So in summary then, what would you say are the biggest things that fantasy writers can take away from playing Dungeons and Dragons, or even just reading about some of the campaigns and researching what it is?
I mean, I think it's a good way to like find the fun in fantasy again if you've been like really struggling with, you know, sometimes when you're writing things you start to take things way too seriously, and fantasy starts to become your nightmare instead of your kind of excitement. But it's good for that. You get to be a little bit silly, you get to take things a little bit on an angle and tackle things in a little bit of a different way, and with your friends too, which is nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if anyone wants to learn a bit more about it, where would you point them?
D&D Beyond is probably a good place to start, where you can sort of read like texts, like short texts about most of the like major races and classes and things. And then, you know, if you feel like it's for you, then you can also try and buy some of the Dungeons and Dragons books. There are like, it doesn't, you know, there isn't just Dungeons and Dragons out there though, by the way, and those books are really expensive, but you can buy them like used as well, which can sometimes help. But the books are beautiful, though. Like, there's so much beautiful artwork in there, which can be very inspiring as well. And yeah, so I would say that you don't necessarily need to know everything about it to be playing it either. Like, even if you watch Critical Role, you can see that, you know, some of them are like, oh, so I can't do that? Oh, no. You know,
it's okay.
It's okay. Everyone does something, like, you know, and we've been playing for a few years now, and we don't, like, you know, you build a new character with a new race and a new class, and again, you've got no clue how that works, you know. So, you know, so that's quite funny as well in that sense. So it doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to know everything. Try and get reading and see if you can find a group out there.
If I do get involved, I will let you know.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks very much for taking the time to chat about this today. Where can we find out a bit more about your writing and your podcast?
Well, Fae Fellows Podcast is our podcast, and you can find us on Anchor, Spotify, Acast, all the platforms. And we're on social media as well as Fae Fellows Podcast on Facebook and Instagram and Tumblr, and we're Fae Fellows on Twitter. And yeah, our writing. Oh gosh.
I don't know. Just find it if you find it.
Yeah, just have a look at our names on the socials and you'll probably find us somewhere.
Very good. Well, thanks very much again. It's been really interesting. Like I say, I'm going to try it out. We'll see how we go.
Great.
Nice one. All right, then, speak to you next time, everyone. A massive thank you to Lucy and Yanina for taking the time to chat there about D&D. And if you do play Dungeons & Dragons yourself, and if it has helped your writing in any way, please write in and let me know about it. The fantasywriterstoolshed@gmail.com is the email address. And I'm sure we'll return to Dungeons & Dragons in the future. And I do promise that before that time, I will give the game a go. So if anyone's near me in Liverpool and fancies having a game, give me a shout. Again, use that email address. And that's about it for today's show. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to be back on the 28th of April with the next episode on our series of creating lifelike characters, specifically looking at moral psychology. To make sure you don't miss it, click subscribe or follow. And you can also sign up for the Writer's Toolshed newsletter, which comes out again on the 14th and the 28th of every month. And in each edition, you'll receive a link to listen to the latest episode of the podcast, along with the latest calls for submissions, any new writing guides and news. And usually there's a featured topic per installment as well. You'll also be invited to my writing group. There's hundreds of us at the moment. Everyone's having a great old time sharing, discussing ideas. The link to learn more about that is in the description. And don't forget, if you want to learn how to edit a novel, register for the writing class taking place on the 5th of May. The link to do so is in the description. And for more immediate classes, check out our Patreon page. Thank you so much again for listening, and keep on scribbling.